From Studio 22, you're listening to ServeCast with your host, William Lamb. ServeCast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William.
Hey guys, welcome back to ServeCast. It is December 7th, which is one more episode, I think, in this year, and then we'll be jumping to 2019. Our guest today is Pastor Rob Foltz, who is the campus pastor here at Lee University. And my co-host is Elizabeth, how do you say it?
That's Elizabeth Sanders.
Elizabeth Sanders. Great. Well, that's Grayson that you hear laughing in the background. So I think we're just going to roll with this one. But Elizabeth is a graduate of Lee University and now in AmeriCorps Vista in the Leonard Center. But she's my co-host. So Elizabeth, what do you got to say? We've got just two more episodes in this year and then we're in 2019.
Yeah, well, it's great to be here. I'm really excited for all that we've recorded this semester, and I'm really excited for the last two episodes that we have coming out. But I'm mostly looking forward to all of the future things that we have lined up for 2019.
Good deal. So Rob Foltz is our guest today, and Rob Foltz was the past lead campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Corona, California, executive pastor at Irvine Saddleback, state youth coordinator, a lot of different ministerial experiences. He is a dad and a husband of one and a dad of two. And so my friend Rob Foltz, my Marine Corps buddy, are you ready for some Marine Corps talk? Elizabeth, when he comes on the radio with us.
Always ready.
Yeah, so we'll be right back with a conversation with Pastor Rob Foltz. All right, guys, we're back and live in Studio 22 with Pastor Rob Foltz. Welcome, Rob.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. You doing good?
Doing well.
So you came from California now to Tennessee, and it's cold here, and it is never cold in California.
Well, yeah, almost never. But I'm glad it's cold. I enjoy the cold. It's a little bit different. It's a break from 75 to 68, which is the average, I think, where I was. So
you enjoy the cold?
I enjoy the cold.
Something's wrong with you.
Elizabeth, I like four seasons. I like four seasons.
Yeah, but not for a long time. So, Elizabeth, you like the cold? Does the cold weather matter to you?
I haven't left my house much since November.
So the answer is no, I don't like the cold.
No, not my thing.
Oh, that's okay.
I'll move to California. You can have my spot here.
That's fine.
There you go. All right, guys. So we're excited about officially welcoming to Lee University. There's been like a bunch of hoopla about Rob being here already and some, you know, articles in the paper and introduction of his wife and his children and his family and all of that stuff. But you're also a Lee alum, right? So when were
That's
you
correct.
Here at Lee?
2001, 1998 to 2001.
And what did you study?
I studied Christian education.
Now, this just comes to mind. I think you guys need to go back and listen to Pastor Rob's message that he, matter of fact, we'll get Grayson to link this to the show notes today because it's pretty impressive when you talked about how God brought you to Lee.
Right.
That's another whole story.
That's and a whole
we're
story.
Link that whole chapel yeah. presentation to this talk today because I think people need to understand that God has a way of aligning things for his purpose, right?
Amen.
So let's talk in this first opening episode. Let's talk about faith journey. So you and your wife, Dana, have two sons, right?
Right.
And so introduce us to your family, your faith journey. Talk about who is God to you, Rob?
Wow. That's a big question. Dana and I have been married for almost 23 years, and she is a pastor's daughter. I stole the pastor's daughter. Proud of that. But our boys, Caleb and Ethan, Caleb is a Navy Special Operations diver.
And, Semper Fi.
Well, he's in the Navy, so no That's Semper true. Fi there. Hoo-yah, I think is what they
That's
say.
Right.
But never mind.
You and I are Marines. He's Navy. It's okay. He'll survive.
That's right. He'll survive. And our youngest son is a freshman here at Lee, and he's enjoying it, loving it, enjoying the freedom, time of his life. So he's having a great time.
So talk about your faith journey.
Sure.
As a child leading up, I mean, pastoral ministry, I mean, don't necessarily re-preach your message because we're going to link it. But
yeah.
But for those people who might be trying to figure out, what does this faith journey look like for you? How did you get to where you are?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. You'll hear that in the message. But, you know, there was came a point in my life where I had to make some really hard decisions about life in general, literally, whether I was going to stay or go. And I just knew that there was something else out there. And fortunately, through a wonderful set of God-ordained circumstances, I found myself in an altar of a church one Sunday morning, October 16th, 1994. And that's really where my faith journey begins, because I didn't have any prior knowledge or understanding really of who God was. Of course, I'd heard the name Jesus, right? We grew up in the South. We know the name Jesus, Christmas, Easter, etc. But outside of that, I had no real faith exposure or experience. And so when I became a Christian in 1994, I knew that things had immediately changed for me. And it seems like that God just kind of put me on an accelerated path of faith development and growth in my life. And I don't understand that. Maybe it's favor, maybe it's grace, maybe it's calling. We could discuss all of those things probably in length, but he has really just kind of been pushing me these last almost 25 years, really, in faith to grow and to become more like him. And so that has been sort of the apex of my objective, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ around the world. Sometimes I do that well, sometimes I don't. So that's why they call it a journey, right? That's why we learn together. So, and that's kind of what's brought me here today. I mean, I just really believed in the power and in the virtue and in the calling of being here at Lee. I just knew that this was an opportunity that I could not walk away from, simply because of the impact that I knew it would have on generations of young leaders. And for me, that was the selling point. So,
that's great.
From a faith perspective, identify this term you keep using, calling, or
calling,
define
yeah.
it, or tell us what that means. You know, people talk about calling all the time. I mean, am I calling you on the phone, or is God calling me to something greater than I'm doing now?
What do we mean
when we say the word calling?
I think we make it a lot more mystical than what it needs to be. I think calling, it can be very, I don't know about simply explained, but simply expressed in our life, because the more we know Christ, the more we become like Christ, the more we realize how he has shaped us, use that word, shaped us, all of our experiences, our spiritual gifts, our personalities, all of those things make up who we are. And that really is where our calling comes from. I don't know of anyone who knows that they're serving fully in their calling, who is serving in something outside and left field somewhere, right? It's born of who they are, their experiences and their past or present, and their education, their interests, their passions, their abilities. All of these things are born in that. So when I say calling, I mean just the reflection of how you serve, where you serve, what capacity you serve, because it's who God made you to be. So
and we know from your resume, or from the information that's told about you, you know, from your bio, that you've had callings in different locations. Are you saying that can occur, that God can call you for a particular time to a particular place?
I believe it can. I think seasons are very biblical to talk about. We just talked about seasons a few minutes ago. You know, I like seasons. Sometimes seasons can be hot. Sometimes they can be cold. Sometimes they can be just right, you know. But I think God absolutely has the authority and the sovereignty to call us to places for seasons, to do certain things for seasons. I have no problems with that. So I think he can do that. I think he does do that. And I think part of our responsibility to that calling, since we're using that word, is to be open to that. It's just to allow God to have that much space and you know, permission to speak into our lives and to move us where he needs us, whenever he chooses, however he chooses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have kind of a double question for you about calling. I'm curious when God called you to ministry, what that journey was like, but also how was it to have received this calling, you're pastoring these churches, and to kind of switch and to move your family and to kind of respond to your calling in a new way by picking up and kind of changing what you're doing. Even though you are still pastoring, it's easy to hold on to specific things and make that your calling. So I'm curious what that transition was like as well.
I think there's a thread that you can weave through anything that I've done as I've followed Christ. I believe where he's called me to do, the things that he's called me to do, I can easily draw a thread through all of that. In terms of when, I distinctly remember when I was actually getting ready to go to the University of Virginia on a full scholarship, and I was sitting in a youth service one night, and I was watching the youth worship. I wasn't participating. I wasn't on the worship team. I wasn't preaching. I was just sitting in the very back of the sanctuary at a youth service, just watching it take place, and I saw these kids worshiping. And in that moment, God called me into the ministry. I knew that that's what I wanted to do. It's what I wanted to be for the rest of my life. And my wife and I talked about it, and she's like, yeah, that makes sense, right? So, and so that's kind of how the journey began for me, and that was in 1998. That was actually in the summer of 98, literally a couple months before I came to Lee. I had to quickly shift gears and everything. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, so that was in the summer of 1998. Now, in terms of the second part of your question, the transition piece, you know, it is difficult sometimes to transition, because anytime you transition, especially into different areas of discipline, you have to learn a new language. You got to learn a new culture. You got to learn a new people. But, you know, that's, for me, that's just part of the journey. It's only what makes you a better leader is if you're willing to submit yourself to that learning process. Leaders are learners, right? Yeah. I mean, Maxwell says that. My mentor, Rick Warren, says that. You know, leaders are learners. And I think one of the great challenges, but one of the great opportunities for me in stepping out of full-time pastoral ministry into full-time higher education ministry is the opportunity to learn. And so I'm really excited just about allowing God to shape me how he wants to shape me in this context and being available to him for that.
So you've identified some defining moments on that call. Has there been any other defining moments that have helped develop you in your faith journey?
Yeah, I think one in particular, and I just actually I think I put something on social media about this a couple weeks ago. I remember very distinctly 2000, I think it was 2006 or 7. I'd lost my job. It, you know, I wasn't fired. Let's make sure that's clear. But
that's good to know.
I wasn't fired for any kind of...
I mean, if you were fired,
yeah, if, I was
if anybody's
fired,
listening to this podcast and you've been fired before...
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's cool.
So.
I was not fired, but I did lose my job due to cutbacks where I was serving. You know, there's the recession hit. You know, we lost our home. And so basically, but that put Dana and I, my wife, on an eight-month journey of not really knowing what in the world God was doing and not really having any idea on how to fix it. And so what I learned in that eight-month period was just a tremendous amount of dependence on allowing God to take me day by day, moment by moment in my faith journey. And so that was a huge season for us. That was a very important lesson that I had to learn in that span of time. And eventually, of course, you know, obviously I'm sitting here, things did work out, things did move, God did open doors in his timing and in his way, which is always the hard part, I think, because we wanna help God along quite a bit in our faith journey, right? So, but I think just learning to trust him, even in the silence, even in the dark spaces, was one pivotal moment for me in my faith journey.
So when a student comes to you who is unsure about their own journey,
right?
What are some of those markers that you learned in your experience that you can share with them? We'll be right back and we'll talk about that. So it's a quick break. Might be hearing us laughing because we're having a great time here in Studio 22. Right before that quick break, you heard Rob talking about some defining moments. So, Pastor Rob, if a student comes to you and they're trying to identify what God's saying, right? What are some steps that people can take to be able to understand this whole idea of maybe God is calling me to something? How can they begin to identify? Now, you've done it through experience, years of experience, right? But there's also some indicators. What are some indicators they can look for?
I think, you know, one of the indicators that I would help a student with is they're trying to figure out maybe what they're doing next. Let's say they're graduating this December and they don't have a job lined up or whatever. And so they're hitting the panic button a little bit. Obviously, coming from the side of experience, I'm a little bit more calm, a little bit more adjusted, a little bit more seasoned. And so what I would try to do is just help them know the indicators. Two indicators that I use all the time are fear and cynicism. And anytime that I feel like I'm overly afraid or there's fear in my heart, I know that that's an indicator that it's not God. I need to pay attention to it. And anytime that I feel like I'm being very cynical about something, a calling or a job or an opportunity, that's something I need to pay attention to, because fear and cynicism are two of the greatest indicators in my life that I've experienced that tell me I'm starting to go down the wrong track. Hmm. And that applies to relationships, that applies to marriages, that applies to calling. And so fear and cynicism for me are two tools that I give students to use all the time to let them know, hey, if you feel any of these things, this is something you need to pay attention to, because these are not of God. This is not God communicating to you. And so that kind of gives them some boundaries to look for. And so it helps their heart, it helps their mind, it helps their soul sort of adjust and recalibrate itself, because they know that fear is not from God, and they know that cynicism is not from God. For example, I'll never get a job, or I'll never, you know, this is not ever going to work out for me, or what. All those are very cynical types of comments that are also driven by fear. So I try to give them those kinds of tools that help them sort of identify where they are in their hearts and in their souls, maybe more than where they are actually in their occupation or their vocation.
Yeah, that's really good. Those are great guardrails, I think. Having just graduated, a lot of people around me are dealing with those nerves and fears and anxieties, and I think that fear and cynicism are definitely right. central to a lot of people right now during this time of life. I'm just curious if you're giving this advice to students, who did that for you? What mentors have impacted the pursuit of God's calling in your life?
I've had a couple mentors in my life that I think have really helped me learn some of those lessons. First one would be my father-in-law, who's, he's a pastor. He's been a pastor at the same church for 40 years. Pastor's a great church, Covenant Church in Virginia, but, he has spoken into my life nearly since day one, since I started attending the church. And he's been a strong influence for my life, helping me understand that, hey, this is a journey. It's not all going to happen all at the same time the way you think it ought to happen. And so just giving me some of those of his own experiences that have helped him through those journeys. And then another mentor I have is a friend who lives in California. His name is Ken Baugh. He is a spiritual formation counselor, just a tremendous man of God who has a sincere heart for pastors. And so I've spent several years with him in counseling, just in spiritual counseling, formation counseling. And he gives me a lot of those tools and resources that I use to help, even to help students today, just kind of cope and understand and identify sort of what they're feeling and why they're feeling it. And I think that goes a long way in helping them, build a solid foundation for stepping out in a healthy way, not an unhealthy way. And so, and then there's a list of people I could go down that would take 20 minutes that have influenced me. But yeah, those are two people that just stand off right on top of my head, towards your question.
Now, you and I are Marine Corps vets. Right. And so I'm a little older than you, though.
Now you can say Semper Fi.
Yeah, I can, Semper Fi. I was 3rd Battalion. You were 1st Battalion.
I was 1st Battalion.
Yeah.
I was a clean Marine.
That's another discussion for another day. Clean Marine. Wow. You can tell Elizabeth by that remark right there that 3rd herd is always better. And so we'll discuss that another day. But Rob will actually confess to that. At some point, he will have to if he wants to make it to heaven, because he knows the truth. So, as Marine vets, and leadership matters, right? And we understand that, and we experience, some wonderful opportunities in the area of leadership. So, recently there was a funeral of past President George H.W. Bush. I'm sure you saw a lot of the video, and as people were coming around in the rotunda, and they were the Bob Dole was rolled up in a wheelchair and literally picked up. By his attendant, and then his, hand twisted and did a respectful salute to his past president, right? Who actually was his friend, who actually was a pretty heavy competitor with him in presidential races, right? Hmm. But there's probably a little known fact about you, that you were working at one time on the security detail with Bob Dole. How did that opportunity arise? God gives us opportunities within the faith sector, but maybe sometimes in the public sector.
Right.
Talk about that moment.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of security detail, I was, it's while I was a student at Regent University, and they asked me to operate on a security detail for high-profile people who would come on campus. And so anybody from Al Gore to John Ashcroft, gosh, I mean, there were several people who came on campus. So anytime they would, I would step in and be a part of that security detail. But in terms of Bob Dole specifically, you know, I was assigned to him when he was visiting on campus. And, you know, just a great person. And I think what he did, you know, this past week in terms of that salute, was it something out of the ordinary? No, I don't think that was the thing. I think what was out of the ordinary was the amount of effort and intentionality it required for him to actually do it. And I think in terms of leadership, a lot of times that's what we're missing is the intentionality piece. It would have been easy for all of those former presidents standing there to salute. Right. It would have been easy for most of those folks to salute, and maybe even rightfully so. But when you're in a wheelchair and you're feeble and you're 95, mm-hmm. no one expects you to do it. No one requires you to do it. No one would have said two words if Bob Dole never would have gotten out of that wheelchair.
Right.
But the fact that he had somebody pick him up, the fact that he took his disabled arm and raised it to salute a fallen president. Mm-hmm. Man, that just speaks volumes to the character of his leadership. Now, you know, the character of his person is a whole different conversation, but the character of his leadership, which I can speak to, I think that was clearly represented in that moment, and it was extremely intentional. Mm-hmm. And I think as leaders, that's something that we often overlook in our leadership, you know, value systems and our leadership ideologies is the intentionality of leadership. And so that's one of the things that I just appreciated about that moment so much was how sincere it was, how intentional it was. And it made an impression for those reasons, I think. So
one thing that I was really interested in finding out about you was that you did serve as the interim chair for Regent University's mm-hmm. political science department. I am curious how your political science background mixed with your faith in this situation. How was that experience? What did you do?
Did my wife ask you to ask that question? Because we've had many
Dana
conversations.
Dana is always with you, Rob. Always with you.
We have laughed and we have cried at times about what God's plan was for the public policy degree while serving at Regent and starting the undergraduate political science program there. It's a great question. And, you know, I think I know at some point, either in part or in full, what I know God asked me to do will come to play. It'll come to pass. And I think even being at Lee in the short amount of time that I have been here, I can already see where some of the pieces of that education and that experience are so important and so vital to what we do here. And I think I don't need to go into a broader cultural analysis of what we're facing as a Christian institution, mm-hmm. but public policy is certainly a large part of the role that we play here.
Yeah.
We had the vice president visit this past summer and, you know, here at campus at Lee, and that was a challenge for a lot of people. It created some very positive, but also some negative, mm-hmm. you know, feedback. And so it's no secret that we live in a very culturally challenging time. And I think as we process our faith and as we process our position in society and culture and in this community, we're going to need to have people who have an understanding of not only just public policy matters, but legal matters and how to navigate all of those conversations in a way that builds up, not tears down.
Yeah.
It's easy to do the tear down part, right? That's what we see on TV all the time with elections, et cetera, right? But the building up piece, how do mm-hmm. we remain active and vital in our community as a faith entity, preserve our integrity, and at the same time protect ourselves from unnecessary conversations and mistakes and issues that may arise.
You're identifying some of those, but are there any other leadership maxims that you kind of guide your life by?
Oh, yeah. I have a list of them. I have a list. I actually wrote down some before I came. So, you know, I try to keep them simple and rememberable so that they can be easily discussed. But I have a few of my favorites. I learned this while I was at Saddleback, and that's being fast, fluid, and flexible, mm-hmm. right? And part of that goes back to the calling. Part of that goes back to understanding your faith journey, being fast, fluid, and flexible. At Saddleback, we said that all the time just because we lived in a leadership culture and environment where we believe that if God wanted to do something different the day before Easter, we would do everything in our power to make it different before Easter, right? So, and we live that reality. So just being fast, fluid, and flexible, knowing that, you know, especially in an institution like Lee, the size, the organization, you know, the number of employees, the number of people who are encountered at Lee every single day, things can change on a dime. Situations can arise in a hurry, and you had better be ready to shift whatever you're doing that day to make it fit the more pressing need. So that's one. Let's see here. There's another one I like a lot, and that's adding value to others. Now, this is one of my favorites because it talks about going from vision sharing to vision shouldering. How do you help people actually begin to carry the load of the vision you have as a leader? It's easier to cast vision. You know, we can articulate it well, we can process it well, we can think about it well, we can systematize it well. But if nobody is joining us, where are we really going, right? It's all about bringing people on the journey with you. And so by adding value to others, a leadership maxim that I try to follow, by adding value to others, what you really do is help move them from just a vision sharing component to a vision shouldering component, because they begin to understand that whatever they do and whatever capacity they do it, they're contributing to the overall vision and mission and the goal of mm-hmm. of wherever you're trying to go. And so vision shouldering is important, adding value to others. One more, I think, is just organic innovation is a leadership maximum that I use. And that's to develop and implement leadership paradigms, practices, platforms that we can integrate from the expertise of the people that we already have. I think God gives us everything we need to do what he's called us to do right where we are. Now, that doesn't mean that there doesn't need to be change. It doesn't mean that there doesn't need to be, you know, improvements or whatever. But I think we have everything we need to do what God has called us to do. And so just allowing the process of the people around you to offer, to give, to share their innovations can go a long ways on building a team and enhancing the chemistry of that team and solidifying the culture of that team when you allow them to create with you. And so that's something else that I like to do quite a bit.
Good deal. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, and we'll conclude with our final segment of this episode. We're going to talk about service. Hey guys, and we're back, and I'm delighted to have this conversation with Pastor Rob, who is the newly appointed, newly selected, newly elected, newly called, whatever it is, man. He's in his first semester at Lee University campus pastor. So let's talk about first semester. What are some lessons that you have learned already that are important for you in this whole idea? Maybe some challenges that you've learned while you've been at Lee for one semester?
Yeah. I think one of the most important lessons that I've learned so far is authenticity is a premium. I think if I were to come in here and try to be somebody I'm not, and even had a couple students actually say something to me, you know, about midway through the semester, they were actually waiting me out to see if I was the real deal or not. Ooh. Right. So
they told you that.
They told me that. They told me that like on the Ped Mall.
That's
and
awesome.
They're like, because
awesome.
You know,
our
like,
generation.
I dress a little bit different, maybe than
a little,
a little.
Okay,
little
let
bit
me insert here.
Classically,
pause.
He doesn't wear Eddie Bauer.
Stop. So we were just talking. We were just talking a minute ago on the break about most of our the way we dress and look comes from California anyway. So you're bringing that to Lee,
I'm
right?
It.
Okay, go
I'm
ahead.
Bringing
continue.
It.
Continue.
Anyway, so they were curious if I was just, you know, putting on a show or something like that. But they're like, no, that's like you every day. I'm like,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
It's just me every day. So Anyway, so I think, you know, that's a very simple explanation or example, but I think just one of the things that I found most important is just being real with the students. And so even as I'm counseling, even as I'm talking to students and they're, you know, telling me about their issues or their struggles or their problems or their fears or their callings, their dreams, if I don't know, I'll tell them I don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not trying to sell them something that I don't have figured out on my own. And so I think just the authenticity piece has gone miles in terms of building legitimate relationships, genuine relationships in this first semester. And I think that's really what it's all about for me, is just observing, assessing, and kind of getting a real bead on where we are spiritually here at Lee, what the cultural climate is like, what are some of the, you know, some of the big three, you know, issues that we're facing. We've talked about in some of our sector meetings and different things like that, but just watching and learning a lot this semester, mm-hmm. not making any heavy changes yet.
So you know, Elizabeth graduated from Lee, and service learning is kind of a big part of Lee. It's actually, I think, part of the whole Christian experience, mm-hmm. right? If you're a Christian, I don't know how you're, you know, can say that you're not called to serve, because we are called to serve. But in the mindset of service, you know, how can we reflect this concept of service in everyday living?
Yeah, I think we overcomplicate, and I've said this a couple times already on this episode, but I think we overcomplicate what it means to actually serve. I think we make it too mystical. I think we make it too cumbersome. I think we make it too official a lot of times. And I think anything that we do to serve others, serve God by serving others, is an act of service. It's an act of ministry. It doesn't take, you know, a lot to read the Bible to understand that no one is exempt from serving.
Right.
I mean, that's, you cannot read the Bible and come to the reality, oh yeah, that's for other people, not me. No, it is, mm-hmm. it is clearly for everybody. If there's anything that's clear in Scripture, it's that we are called to serve each other. And I think we can do that in very small ways. We can do that in very significant ways. But the key is that we develop a habit of serving. A culture of serving, a lifestyle of serving, because in doing so, we not only help other people, we bring honor and glory to God, and we also learn a lot about ourselves that we wouldn't have realized or known otherwise, because serving reveals to us our passions, our callings, and our giftings. You can read every book you want, and there are some really great ones out there, but until you actually get out there and start serving, you don't know the gifts that God has given you mm-hmm. to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what it requires.
And I think the challenge too, you know, of course, now Elizabeth's been a Leonard Center intern for 4 years, I think, before you graduated here, right? Four,
yep,
three and a
four.
Half or four, something like that. Yeah.
Four.
So you've heard me kind of talk about this over the journey, you know, that service, sometimes while we make it too difficult, at the same time, I think we try to make it too easy. And we have to guard against the idea that we need to do the most simple things because that comes most natural. What are some of the challenges that I think that your generation faces, Elizabeth, as we approach this idea of service, you know, and what is it that you might can still glean from old guys like Rob and older guys like me, right?
You know,
as it relates to this whole
season.
Lifestyle.
Season.
I like that
yes.
term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually like both of those points. As far as making service too difficult or too complicated, I understand, I think students are overwhelmed by, what do I have to offer to service? Like, what do I have to offer to the world? I don't have a skill set yet, or I don't have a degree. And it can be so simplified, and it can be found in such little things, even outside of the Leonard Center, to live a lifestyle of service. But I think as far as making it too easy, If you are committed to a lifestyle of service, if you're committed to service that is, I would say, good quality, or that is effective, or that is thinking outside the box, sometimes we're afraid to look back and think, maybe we had it wrong. Like, maybe how we've done it all this time isn't going to empower this person in the long run. Or, and I think that would apply more to a very specific kind of dignified service. So I think Rob is looking more at the lifestyle of service, and we're looking more at the methodology of service.
Yeah.
But I think definitely it can be made too easy, where we're afraid to make changes. We're afraid to think outside of the box. And sometimes that holds us back. And so it's nice to see students at Lee who are so passionate about service through their experience with the service learning program, and to offer up big dreams that they have, and they have the energy and the inspiration to work to make it happen. So that's been really cool to watch over my 4.5 years now here.
And that speaks to your concept earlier about leaders are learners, you know, I mean, we don't have time today, but we could go to a whole new discussion about the reality of, you know, lessons learned from maybe our unwillingness to evaluate the necessity to make a change, you know, that needed to come. So,
yeah.
Rob, we just got a couple of minutes left in this episode. Thoughts for not just Lee, we have people who are not Lee students that listen to this episode,
right.
I think, to this podcast. I think last count we had something like 47 states in the U.S. and maybe 15 plus countries that we know are punching in to listen to us at some point in some journey. What do you say to people? What do you want people to know, you know, after hearing this episode and going in hopefully and watching your chapel? What do they need to know about how they need to approach their own faith development, their own faith journey?
For me, you know, kind of the journey I'm on right now is health, spiritual health. Just get spiritually healthy. Don't worry about, you know, whether you get it all right all the time. Don't worry about, you know, if you know everything or if you don't know everything. Go for healthy. And I think the more you engage Christ, the more you are authentic with Him and your relationship with Him, the better chance you have of deepening and developing that faith that maybe you desire or you don't have quite yet. And so for me, where I kind of am in my season of life is I'm shooting for spiritually healthy.
I love that.
What that looks like.
What does it look like?
For me, it looks like right now it's just a lot of awareness. Awareness of my own heart, awareness of my own soul, awareness of my own weaknesses and my own strengths, and just an awareness of who God is in my life, and just taking that at face value and learning to be okay with not being okay. I mean, I think, you know, we could talk a lot about mental health, and we do here at the university talk a lot about mental health, but it's more than that. It's heart health. It's emotional health. It's spiritual health. And so, I just want to be the most spiritually healthy person I can be, not necessarily the most spiritually correct or the most spiritually righteous or knowledgeable, but healthy, because I believe healthy things grow.
Yeah.
And I want to grow in Christ. I want to see and I want to experience everything that He has for me. And I think the pathway, the journey for me to do that is to become as spiritually healthy as I can. That means I got to be aware. That means I have to be willing to submit. I've got to be willing to change. I've got to be willing to address. I've got to be willing to counsel. I've got to be willing to do a lot of things in my life that allow me that opportunity to add another layer of understanding and of grace and of favor, add another layer of repentance or forgiveness if necessary, and just becoming healthy as a leader.
We're approaching 2019, just a couple of weeks away, right?
Yeah.
So your first semester is almost in,
right?
You know, you'll have your official doctoral credentials soon. In a couple of years, I don't know.
About two years left. Yeah.
Keep pursuing.
Yeah.
You'll finish. Right. That's from the voice of experience, Elizabeth. And so, because I know. But you know, Rob, 2019, Lee students. This is again not exclusive to Lee students, but you know, as the pastor of people who attend Lee University, what do you want them to know as we approach 2019?
I think I want them to know, first of all, that I'm there and I'm accessible.
Good.
You know, I kind of have the open door policy. If I'm in my office and the door's open, come in. That's kind of my rule. So I want them to know I'm accessible. But the second thing I want them to know is that I'm serious about helping them develop spiritually in whatever gifting or calling God has led them to, whether it be in nursing or business or pastoral ministry or missions or teaching. It doesn't matter, whatever the discipline is, you can be a tremendously profound, useful instrument in the hands of God if you're willing to submit yourself to that process. And so that's my goal, that's my objective, is to help them to be as spiritually formed as they possibly can be by the time they get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to challenge all of those people who are working in a service profession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work in a service profession. You work in a service
right.
profession. Sometimes if we're not careful, you know, that will be the only service we'll do.
Right.
Because that's our profession. And at the end of the day, we're checking it off, right? Mm-hmm. And we're done. But I think we're made for more. And I know for myself, you know, I'm a chaplain with the county and our law enforcement and, you know, with the fire department and EMS. And I'm in my 11th year now. And recently I got a call from a gentleman who just hunted me down. He actually went to one of the fire stations and tried to locate me to express his appreciation for my service to he and his family
right.
During the loss of their child in an accident. And, you know, you don't normally look for those conversations. You don't expect them to come, but when they come, they're very encouraging. And so I want to say to all of us that can be easily exhausted with this profession of service that you're made for more. And
yeah.
maybe God's going to design for you to still make some contribution above and beyond what you're getting, you know, paid for.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, Elizabeth's headed out into the real world soon to get a job. And as all those students who graduate next week at Lee University, I mean, students are going to be graduating. Grayson, our tech, 4 years here now, you know, he's going to be graduating and trying to figure it all out. And so, you know, Rob, we do this on occasion. We don't do it often. We do it on occasion. So what I think would be helpful today, as we've pitched a couple of challenges, is maybe that you would close this episode in prayer, you know,
and just,
you know, pray that whatever's on your heart, but also, you know, specifically, you're a Marine vet, so you understand precision. And I recently have been thinking about, you know, you talked about what you're thinking about spiritual health. I'm thinking about precision praying.
Mm.
You know, and I'm actually writing an article on that. And my wife and I have had conversations about that. We're both empty nesters now. I'm
right.
a grandfather. You're not.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm not a grandfather.
You're not a grandfather,
yet.
But you
no,
are
I'm
an empty
nester.
And so you yeah. are. He said that with such joy.
I mean, did.
Me too.
Such enthusiasm.
Dana and I don't have anybody else in the house. And so, well, now people want to come and stay there because they know they can stay and eat for free. But
amen.
Anyway, so, you know, yeah. And so precision praying, you know, just being specific and saying, God, I need you to do this. And I think
right.
it's okay in our relationship to do that. So it has been a joy to have you today. We're looking forward to serving with you for
Thank
a very
you.
Long time here at Lee. And hey, guys, at the end of this prayer, you're going to hear a worship tune. You're going to hear a song. And that's intended for you to contemplate on what God might be speaking to you today as you think about faith, leadership, and service and the ways you can make contribution to the world in need.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your love. And Lord, I'm absolutely convinced that every single day you will put someone in our path who needs to hear about that love. If we open our eyes, open our hearts, God, open our ears, if we be willing, Lord, to just allow ourselves to be used by you, God, I know that that can happen every single day that we are on this earth. Lord, for all those who are listening today who may be struggling with that idea or that concept of calling, Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to their hearts, that you would calm them, God, that you would give them rest, Lord, that you would just give them clarity, Father, that you would help them to understand that if it's fear or cynicism, God, it's not you. And Lord, just give them some assurance, Lord, that yes, no matter what they've done, no matter who they are, no matter where they came from, God, they have a purpose, they have a plan, and that is given by you. God, you created us for good works in advance. And so, God, we thank you for that. We pray for the close of this semester, for all those finals that still need to be taken. Lord, may the students do well. May they be safe as they travel. And, Lord, we mostly thank you, God, just for this opportunity, for this time that we have to just share our hearts, to share our wisdom, and to share some fun stories. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God the Lord. nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus is.
Servcast. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes and share us on Facebook. Hey, if you've got any questions, send them to servcast22@gmail.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Servcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Servcast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Servcast are those of William Lamb, his guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Servcast, signing off from Studio 22.